Speed Weeks is underway. This is the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast. Eddie Greer, a.k.a. EG3, for the NASCAR Podcast. Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. Gainer Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series. The three biggest divisions in all of NASCAR. For whatever reason, I'm still tempted to say Monster Energy every time I want to say that, but I avoid it this time. It's the NASCAR Cup Series, no longer the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, because we got four different sponsors for the Cup Series this year, so, yep, gonna have to get used to that, but, hey, folks, we're in motion. Speed Weeks is going on tonight. We got a special guest on the podcast here, and before I release that information, he will call at the top of the hour. The Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, and find it wherever you get your sports podcasts or any entertaining podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, we're on there as well, and a few more other places you can find the podcast. And you can follow me at EG3_FastEddie on Twitter. That is at EG3_FastEddie, and I have to follow our special guest this evening once we wrap this thing up. Big D will join us for the interview. Yes, he doesn't speak very often, not at all his podcast. He is the producer of this podcast. Well, the Daytona 500 coming up this Sunday. As of now, we still don't know the whole entire grid. Obviously, we got the Clash going on Sunday. Coming up, it's the weekend, man, and very excited that NASCAR is back at Daytona and back here. A lot is going on. Lots happening in the offseason, obviously. We'll get into that just a little bit, and then, of course, we'll talk Daytona with our special guest again, folks. Man, it's awesome, and really, for the third year in a row, we're able to get somebody on before the season starts at Daytona. So this has kind of become somewhat of a tradition, if you will, right here in Manhattan, Kansas, where Eddie Greer, Big D, EG3, the big two, we do it big, record this podcast from the Manhattan, Kansas. For those of you very new to this podcast, the season underway here, really, on a few days now, and obviously, at the end of this weekend, we will know at least the front row when this podcast comes out on our usual day on Wednesday, getting you set for the duels. And I will not be back on unless something news breaking happens big time down in Daytona Beach, Florida. We'll get it to you guys. But we'll be back on at least once for sure. That's our usual weekly podcast. And then obviously, we've got front row qualifying going on Sunday, along with the Clash as well, going to go down. Jimmy Johnson, defending winner from 1 year ago. There's a good possibility. A good possibility that we could do sort of a quick recap of Sunday at some point afterwards. So definitely look out for possibly another. This will be a bonus episode, that's for sure. So a lot of things going on early for us here in Manhattan, Kansas. A lot of good content, and of course, a special guest here tonight is none other than the owner of the 95 Toyota machine. That is Bob Levine, will join me here in just a few minutes here in the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast. How can't get much better than that, folks. We had the president of the Daytona Speedway last year, and this year we managed to get not household names yet, but one of the up-and-coming owners of this sport in Bob Levine. And every now and then some of his tweets will pop up on the field. I haven't followed him yet, but go follow him, if you will, and we'll get into all of that here in this interview. You will not like us. After this interview concludes tonight, you will not hear me, obviously, until the next episode of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, which that will be the 500 recap. And then before this one, obviously, it comes out, I believe it will be the Clash in Front Row recap before this one. So after this one's over, you'll hear the closing music as usual. And we will talk to you on the other side after the 500 goes down. And let's not forget now, folks, we got Truck Series, Getting Our Outdoor Truck Series racing down Daytona Beach here coming up as well on Friday. And then Saturday, Xfinity hits the track with their season, respective season openers. And, of course, all things, of course, you got the duels. You throw those things in between there as well. And you got leading up to the Super Bowl of all of racing, besides the Indianapolis 500 and IndyCar, the Daytona 500. Of course, last year, it was the year of Joe Gibbs Racing. Everybody knows it by now. This is a return over a new leaf, but you got to go back to last year. You can't help it that Denny Hamlin became a two-time 500 winner champion and beating Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch coming in here, obviously the series defending champion, and he is still looking for his first 500. And then completing that podium sweep, Erik Jones. Can he get off to a fast start in 2020? Obviously, we got crew chiefs moving around. And speaking of which, if you have not listened to that episode yet, go back, listen to that as well. We talk crew chiefs and the previous episodes of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Man, so much great good content already out, and there's going to be some more coming out as well. And then obviously I want to touch up real quick, you're listening to 3Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3 Eddie Greer here tonight, Big D, producer of the podcast. We are waiting for Bob Levine, owner of course Levine Family Racing, the number 95 Toyota, to call in here very shortly. Man, these things, whenever you get a guest on, man, time just goes by quick, like fast. So definitely we're anxious to get him on and talk to him all things Daytona, with some other things, topics as well. But yeah, I want to touch up on one other thing real quick. Yes, I will continue to let you know about my whole family situation. Well, going family situation, as most of our listeners know, if you're new to the show, we are adopting, and our birth mother is due in second or third week, towards the end, well, early half March, let's put it that way, folks. So still working up things, what we're going to do when that comes around. Obviously, we will record, so still, there will be an episode out that week, unless things escalate with all that. So there is that, but there's going to be, yeah, a definite, obviously, adjustment, big time adjustment period with that. So definitely we're thinking maybe an episode here pre-recorded like we normally do, like this one is anyway. So a lot going on with that, so I will definitely keep you guys in the loop as far as that goes. But for right now, yeah, we're excited about that. We're excited about racing, man. It is a good time to be. Yes, football is over, but yeah, football never stops. Obviously, they got their things going on now leading up to the draft, and here got a lot of activity going. The duels Thursday night, and this episode will go out before all that starts. So kind of works out good timing with our usual podcast day. Wednesday, duels Thursday night, trucks on track. Austin Hill stunned the truck world last year with his win there. Nobody expected that. And now he's on the radar this year. That is for sure. Will we see another unexpected win in the truck series? Or we will see one of the familiar faces back in victory lane. Xfinity Series last year, obviously the lame finish there, letting Michael Annette, Justin Allgaier off the hook there. Michael Annette, obviously, huge winner there, getting his first ever Xfinity Series win right there. So expect more fireworks there in the Xfinity Series, possibly. And obviously, the 500, you don't know what you're going to get from that spot either. So definitely we'll see what happens right there when this all is said and in. Obviously, the Super Bowl of NASCAR, the 500 who will rise from the ashes here on Sunday afternoon, 2:30 Eastern Time, Daytona 500 on Fox. Might join Jeff Gordon leading the charge along with others for the broadcast as well. Of course, Fox going with a two-man crew for the first time in Fox's existence of covering NASCAR since since 01. Yeah, since 01, I've always watched it's been a tradition for my family to watch Daytona, always watch Daytona 500, and then not really diving into the sport until a few years after that. We always watched the Daytona race because we lived in Florida. Our special guest is from Tampa, Bob Levine, so get his thoughts, obviously, on that and much more as we are approaching his call here in Manhattan, Kansas, the 3Y NASCAR podcast here. And obviously, after Daytona, folks, yep, you got Las Vegas. The West Coast swing starts off with a bang. It usually, the last few years, it was Atlanta. Now, you got to go West Coast. So, definitely some questions. I've been saying this for quite some time now. Questions will start to answer itself here as the first half of the NASCAR regular season gets kicked off here. Las Vegas, yeah, Phoenix, and Cali, and then you got to go back east with a couple mile and a half racetracks there. So, man, it is going to be something here coming up. So, with that, we will throw it to a break. 3Y NASCAR podcast, rate us. And if you want, write us a review as well. 5-star review, 4-5-star review, mainly 5 stars, but 4 is all right as well. And of course, again, at EG3_FastEddie on Twitter. Find us right there as well, folks. Big D, let's throw it to a break real quick. When we come back, we should have Bob Levine on the other side. Daytona 500 is around the corner, folks. Get your popcorn ready. You're listening to 3Y NASCAR Podcast. We'll be right back. Take a small intermission and we'll be back.
This is a quick pit stop. The 3Y NASCAR Podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
The 3Y NASCAR Podcast is back on the airwaves. EG3, Eddie Greer here for the 3Y NASCAR Podcast, all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, Gainer Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course the NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have on the line owner of Levine Family Racing, the number 95 Toyota for Christopher Bell, none other than the owner himself, Bob Levine, joins us here on the 3Y NASCAR Podcast. Bob, what is going on?
Hey, Eddie, not much, just day prior to me heading to Daytona.
Yeah, it's a busy time, an exciting time for all of NASCAR, Bob, for the fans and for teams and owners and everyone associated with NASCAR. Daytona is around the corner as we're talking right now, recording. Clash coming up, obviously. Qualifying coming up this weekend as well. We're going to get to Daytona and all of that here in just a little bit. But for the new listeners who join this podcast that don't know you very well, I'm going to let you take the floor here for a few minutes here and tell us about yourself and how did you get to this point?
Well, 10 years ago, I decided to start a cup team. And it was a decision that I'd made for a driver who wanted to drive in the Cup Series. David Starr, he drove in the Truck Series. And so I just from Texas flew to North Carolina and talked to some people about being able to buy cars from them, Roush and RCR. And Michael Nye, my grandson, who's our VP of racing now. And that's how we were able to work out a deal with Roush and buy cars and Roush 8's engines to buy engines. And we went Cup racing in 2011 with David Starr. We ran 8 races. We were just a part-time team. In fact, we remained a part-time team for the first 5 years of our existence. And then in 2015, I believe it was, or really been 2016, they started the charter system, and we decided if we were going to be able to stay in NASCAR because of the change in the structure of the purses for the Cup Series, that you really need to be a charter owner. And we weren't given one, like the majority of the other 36 were. They were full-time team. So we leased one for a year in 2016, and that's when we switched to Chevrolets with RCR. And then the following year, 17, we were able to buy one, and we raced 17, 18, 19, and now with our own charter. And so we were with Ford the first 5 years, Chevrolet for 2 years, excuse me, 3 years, Toyota last year, and obviously this year, and hopefully we'll never have to go anywhere besides Toyota.
And you mentioned the transition, Bob, from Chevy. You had Chevy, and then you transferred over to Toyota because you wanted to be more competitive. So how? Okay, so backtrack just a minute here. What is an alliance? Obviously, you had an alliance with RCR, and then you transitioned from RCR over to Joe Gibbs in the Toyota department. So what is an alliance?
That's a big, broad question, Eddie, but I'll try to simplify it.
Okay.
Very, you know, 1-2 car teams is really difficult to make it and really be competitive in NASCAR without having an alliance. An alliance allows a team to sign an agreement with a larger, we call them motherships, and you know, it's where they can buy parts, pieces. They get a buying power from that alliance and get certain other services depending on how much money you can afford to pay. You know, you may get technical assistance. You know, you may be able to get a discount on parts because you may be able to buy their used parts that they may have used one time. So it really can be a big, broad deal with, you know, we per se had alliance with Penske for 2 years. You know, but then we had alliance with them because we were able to, teams were able to test a lot back then. So we did a lot of testing for Penske. And then Mr. Penske, you know, they sold us cars. They helped us do various things. They provided really no engineering, you know, no setup assistance. It was just more help buying parts, pieces, and things, working on our cars, And so that was a, you know, was a good alliance. We really enjoyed that alliance. Because that was our first one with, first 3 years with Roush Fenway, we just bought cars and parts from them.
Wow.
Then, once we had an opportunity to go to RCR, that's when the 78 car had moved over there.
Yeah. Yep.
Then, and what was it, 2017? Or 16, I guess they moved to Toyota.
Yeah, 16, yeah.
So right. Then RCR had a spot that they could take us. And so we formed and had an alliance with them to buy certain, you know, cars for so much and parts and pieces. And we were able to get information, you know, set up information and things that helped us take a little step further and grow a little more. And so it's, think about the first two, Ford, Chevrolet, we really never had a relationship with the manufacturer.
Hmm.
You know, the manufacturer gives their support to the big motherships, and then they can dole out to whomever they want to their advantage that support. And we never had been able to break into getting support from the manufacturer, and we knew that because there's a lot of Ford teams out there before us. We're one of the last ones to come in.
Yeah. Yep.
A lot of Chevrolet teams out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so Michael and Jeremy Lang, our president, we made the decision, you know, the only way we're ever going to get anywhere is try to be one of the few, and you know, and if we keep working hard and show what kind of progression and people we have, maybe we can get Toyota to buy onto that. So in our last year, we did 3 years with RCR, and so it would have been in 18 we started visiting with Toyota. And, you know, Toyota and TRD first.
Okay.
And, you know, they were very helpful. They were relationship-based. And they want to know, you know, why you're doing what you're doing, you know, your resources. You know, they really want committed people because they're committed to winning.
Mm.
They're committed to putting the best product on the track. And not the numbers, but the quality. And I've always liked that because I've kind of been a loner, and you know, I didn't go with a crowd, and so I like that being a little more exclusive. And that's, the 78 car was still running then, and
yeah,
we didn't know, nobody knew what they were going to do or what they were thinking about doing. But Toyota had run the 77 car with them, which owned it for a year.
Yep.
So we knew they had that engine program sitting there not being used. And so our goal was, where we started off, hey, y'all can take us, and without building any more engines, you have them there, and we can do this, that, and the other. And with them, it's a kind of a trilateral agreement because JGR builds their chassis and cars. They're the only ones that build Toyotas.
Mm.
So you're going, if you're going to run a Toyota, you're going to make a deal with, you know, Coach and buy cars from them. So they obviously can be selective also. So once we got through the process of, I guess you say, vetting us and seeing if we were the kind of people they wanted to deal with, and then they said, okay, now go talk to JGR and see if you can make that happen. If you can, then we'll all get back together, and then we'll work out a deal. So we spent meetings, and I spent time with them and Coach, and you know, hit it off very well, and our technical people and his, and you know, how can we help one another? And we were able to arrive at a for 2019. And that's probably the biggest step, you know, we had taken to that time in becoming a better team was taking that step. So that's kind of a long and short of it. That was our really, from my standpoint, the first true alliance, because we have the manufacturer on board with us. We have another cup team providing various type of information mm-hmm. to us. So that, to me, is a real alliance.
We are learning something, folks. 3Y NASCAR podcast here, EG3, talking with Bob Levine, the owner of the number 95 Toyota for Levine Family Racing. Yeah, JGR has been very successful. We've seen that. Everyone has seen that. The 19 wins that they put down last year, and obviously Kyle Busch winning a championship. Yeah, you know, the standard that I've been hearing lately, all NASCAR fans have been hearing lately, that single car teams like yourself and the Gaunt brothers and a couple others, that who's going to be the next Fernturo 78 car? That's been the standard there. So I want to backtrack again. So before you guys transitioned to Toyota, you had one of the big name drivers in Casey Kane. How was he helpful to your organization before he had to leave, unfortunately, leave with some health issues?
Right. Casey was a jewel to work with. You know, I love him and really hated he had that issue, because earlier in the year when we actually first started talking to Toyota, it was going to be with Casey. Because we took Casey with us to several meetings with Toyota and TRD out in the West Coast in California to go through their engine plant. And in fact, after the Sonoma race, we all flew down and visited with them. And, you know, Casey's a known commodity. And, you know, Casey had just won Indianapolis when he was, notified that he was going to be removed, you know, from the five car. And so I was sold on Casey as a, you know, great driver. Unfortunately, man, those things that could go wrong did go wrong. Mm. When Casey was here, with him getting sick, I made a crew chief change after the first several races with Casey that year, and went on another path. It was a difficult year for us, and I told Casey, or apologized, and that's why I wanted him to stay with us with Toyota. I knew it was going to give him an opportunity. However many more years he wanted to drive, we could put him in good cup cars. And, you know, he believed it, and he bought in. And what helped us, the way it helped elevate us, is an established cup driver, you know, coming to a single car team, you know, after he had been in the limelight with Hendrix, and, you know, taking that ride. You know, and he didn't have to do it. And so it was, you know, we felt good that he talked to us, come to the shop, felt good about it. So that elevated us as being, okay, these people, this team is trying to build a program.
Yeah, so, and do you still talk to Casey?
Oh, yeah. We texted over the holidays, and we texted. Oh, he's good. He still lives around here, and he just built a house in Telluride. You tell him I'm going to come visit him. And just felt like he's a family member now. You know, just a great kid, and, you know, had a great career in the Cup Series, and probably still would be driving for us if he hadn't had his, you know, medical issue. And that was really tough on him, having to get out of the car. And because he loves driving a race car. So, yeah, I call him Casey a friend.
Yeah, that's that's great that you guys still keep in touch. That's awesome right there. Going back to last year, so you have the Kane situation there, and then you have to call on Regan Smith, and then, of course, last year, Matty D comes on to the program, and he had some great runs last year. Obviously, what sticks out to me and a lot of other NASCAR fans, obviously, Bristol last year. Matty D, obviously, is on with the Wood Brothers here coming up this year. And he did well in the 500 last year. I'll get to some of his numbers in just in a little bit, but Matt DiBenedetto, obviously, you know, took a chance on himself, and you took a chance on him also. So what was that whole year like for you guys with Matty D, obviously, with you guys? And just tell us some more about that.
It was really a very, very satisfying year. Through the obstacles. In fact, I'm at the shop now, sitting in with an engineer and Michael earlier this afternoon, you know, talking about last year and how what we got off to, and then dug ourselves a hole with getting wrecked in the 500. And then same thing, running well in Talladega, getting wrecked there, dropping an engine in Kansas, dropping an alternator in Phoenix, where you know, got good speed in the car, you know, and there would have been a great opportunity to really get frustrated and, you know, three hands in the air. But our engineers and crew chief, wheels, and everybody just kept digging, and probably the turning point was Sonoma, when we had a good finish. A top five finish. And so Matt, you know, wanted to prove himself. And I think we did also, that we was worthy to come to Toyota. You know, we had an alliance last year with, you know, Coach Gibson, but we didn't have the same alliance that we have this year with him. So that's what I mean. Alliance is a big, broad term. So with just getting started, one, we couldn't spend the money last year to do that. And two, if we'd have got the things that we're getting this year, we wouldn't have had the people in place to utilize them properly. So it really gave us a year, you know, to gear up and to be better and to utilize the information that we're going to have. But I know it helped Matt, because he then got in the best equipment he'd been in. We had the best equipment we'd ever had. And so we kind of grew together. And, you know, the plan was, you know, and all plans don't work out. We had really hoped to be able to attract sponsors enough that, because in the back of our head, and we knew, and talking with Toyota and TRD, you know, were probably what was going to happen with Christopher. So our goal was to go to the second car in 2020 and have Matt and Christopher. We got a driver with some experience, and we got a rookie driver. And, you know, those would feed off each other very, very well. And so the sponsorship just didn't come to fruition, you know, and the opportunity with Christopher did. So, you know, it was unfortunate, but fortunate for Matt, because it was unfortunate that we couldn't pick up his option. You know, but fortunate for Matt, he was able to go with a 21 car. And those guys are great folks over there. Some of my best friends in the garage, Lynn and Eddie. And, you know, and I know that, you know, they're going to take care of him. And he's going to do well. And so we, just like Casey, we have a great relationship with Matt. We've really never got rid of a driver that we still didn't maintain a great relationship with. Michael McDowell, one of the best friends I've got. And, you know, just a class act.
Yeah.
And so, you know, everybody wins. But I think, well, I do know that it built our confidence on what we could do last year. I know it built Matt's confidence on what he could do. You just can't run races like Bristol and Sonoma. Some of the others we were able to pull off in the second half of the year. We dug ourselves out of the hole. We had fallen all the way back to, I think, 27th in points and wound up 22nd, 1 point out of 21st, and not very many points out of 20th. So it's tough once you dig as big a hole as we dug in the first of the year to climb out second year, but we did and had great speed. Mm-hmm. And I think in the second half of the year, our average finish or speed was like 13 or 14. So, you know, not bad for a little single car team.
That's not bad at all. That's not bad at all. 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Eddie Greer here, joined by Bob Levine, the owner of the number 95 Levine Family Racing Toyota, Christopher Bell in that seat here this season. So you mentioned the potential, well, back then, of two cars with, of course, Matt DiBenedetto and Bell. Now, of course, we got this year's car back from last year, and then obviously a few people, or I should say a lot of people, are starting to work on the next year's car, which is going to be totally different. So I know I'm looking too fast, if you will, but is the plan still to run maybe a second team in the future? Or
yes. What's that? Yes. You know, hopefully the next gen car, 2021 car, you know, cost will be reduced. Our cost of racing will be, you know, which will help in sponsorships, you know, attracting more sponsorship. Because I think ultimately here at our shop, we can comfortably handle two cars. And there are some economies of scale with two cars. And not only that, but just the information that you're able to share driver to driver, crew chief to crew chief, engineer to engineer. So there's a lot of economies of just information gathering. And so we're still would like to, you know, two cars are better than one. And as I call it in Toyota, it gives them another bullet to shoot. Because they want to, you know, they're not interested in numbers again. They're interested in quality and winning races. So if they have another quality car, then they're going to be happy and they're going to support us. You know, if we don't do well, then I'm sure they'll talk about it. Because, you know, it's very difficult, us following the 78 car, because obviously, you know, they had a Cinderella story.
Yes, yep.
of going from where they were, and Barney did a great job. Barney has far more money than I have to put in it. So we've always had to, you know, just, we maybe not, didn't always get what we wanted, but we got what we needed, and according to our budget. And, you know, this past year over the break, we were able to put our own Hawkeye in here, and that's been big for us, getting our cars. We don't have to run them back and forth over to the R&D center, and we can run them through as many times as we want to get our bodies closer to where NASCAR wants us to be. So we're going to spend less time working on them at the track, because I foresee in the future, not far in the future, where we show up, qualify, and race.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, not to overlook this year, obviously we're all excited for NASCAR to get back rolling, but 2021, there's going to be if you will, wholesale changes, schedule, cars, obviously, the whole shebang. So definitely 2021 will definitely be something, but turning clocks back to 2020, obviously, I want to talk about the offseason for just a few minutes here. Obviously, you guys are getting ready for the start of the year. There's a lot that happened in the offseason. Jimmy Johnson announcing that this year is his last year. Cole Pern leaving the sport. What surprised you the most coming into from the offseason?
Man, I haven't thought about what surprised me the most. Oh, probably the difficulty of Daniel Suarez getting right.
Yep. Yeah.
We visited with Daniel when he was leaving JGR and offered him a spot here, and he decided to go where he went, and so I've always thought the world of his driving experience and his tenacity and his hard work, and I know Toyota still likes the young man, so the fact that it took a long time to put that together with the Gaunt brothers was disheartening, because I'd ask him at the track all the time, hey, how's it going, how's it work, what are you working on, and so off the top of my head, because nobody's asked me that, it's not a whole lot of surprises, because most of the stuff we kind of hear rumors
right
before y'all do.
Yeah.
But even that one kind of caught me by surprise, because it hadn't happened so late. So I guess Daniel, because he's a quality driver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he yeah,
but if you look at it this way also, he's put himself in a position where he's driven good cars, and you then only really want to drive good cars.
Mm-hmm.
So then what spots was really available for him to drive a good car? And I know the Gott brothers had to step up and go to full time, to make that happen. So that was a big commitment on their part.
Definitely reading that Gaunt brothers from part time, and this is going to be their first full time year too. So that is going to be interesting. You got a guy,
challenging and interesting is right. Yep, you're right.
That's, and with you have a driver that's won an Xfinity Series championship in Suarez also. So we haven't even ran a lap yet in 2020. So Suarez was in really JGR good equipment for the last several years since he's been pushed to Cup. Joe Gibbs, obviously, and then obviously the 1 year with Haas, with Stuart Haas Racing. There you go. Almost lost it there for a second, but the 41 car. So that was unfortunate there for him, and I've talked about it with some of my friends a few days ago that. This is, it's not the motion might not be the wrong word, but is it an unknown factor there with Suarez going over to a team that hasn't, been in the situation before, but at the same time, it's probably exciting for those guys. So that is going to be an interesting storyline to follow through the 2020 season as this year kicks off. So, but yeah, so moving on from Suarez to you guys getting set for Daytona. Everybody's getting ready for Daytona. The Truck Series, the Xfinity guys, and of course the big boys getting set. So, Bob, what does the meeting Daytona stand out for you when people mention that to you?
Truthfully, heartbreak. A lot of emotion goes into running that race. It's our biggest race, and it's the first race of the year. So you worked really hard to put your best foot forward, and it happens to be a race that you can do everything right and
Exactly.
And that's the way I feel coming off of last year's. Lead the most laps, had a good enough car to win, and come away with nothing. And through, you know, no fault of your own.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go back, you know, you got to be a little a gun shy of, because in the super speedways last year, of the four, we finished one. We ran really well on all four of them.
Oh, yeah.
Always put a good speedway car together.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt did a great job of driving those cars. And so, you know, it started with the 500. So, you know, big race, great fans, you know, all over, eight laps to go. We're leading. And the world comes to an end in the racing, so to speak. And so, you know, you can't, you just, that does, that in itself doesn't let you get too excited of knowing what the possibility is.
Right.
So, you know, emotion, you know, think about Daytona 500, it's a roller coaster, up and down emotion, big event. Actually, you know, fun to go to and you know, see the folks and see the cars and exciting, but it's like being on the edge of your seat for how many hours it takes us to run that thing.
It's nothing like Daytona. Obviously, I haven't. I'm only just a fan and someone that does a podcast on racing, obviously, so I haven't driven cars, but I've seen my share of Daytona 500 races living down in, when I lived in Florida for a long time, going to the racetrack and seeing the 500 and also seeing the, what was back then, the Pepsi 400. But yeah, we see it all the time down there. You have a good car and all of a sudden with less than 20 to go, drivers get antsy and
yep.
It all goes to, you know what.
Yeah. Yeah, what you do can affect, especially if it's up front, what you do can affect, like did last year in the big one, 20 cars or more.
Yeah. Yeah, that, yeah, so definitely, I mean, you can get, you hear it from guys all the time, you're running in the front, something happened there, mid-pack especially, something can happen there in the back, you know. Drivers want to stay out of trouble, stay away from the big one, and then they still get caught up in something. So there's just, you just got
to. You can't hide nowhere.
Yeah,
you know, that's
exactly
what we decided years ago. Is because I kept. We didn't run the super race for a couple of years after we got in. It was like, I, you know, and Wally talked me into it, and we went. You know, it was an enjoyable. And we survived quite a few. And then the more I knew about it, I said, well, you know what? And we got killed running in the back. And then as we grew and were able to, I said, you know, if we're going to get killed, I'd rather be killed up front where somebody notices you. So essentially, that was our 2019. We got killed up front, and everybody knew about it, but it didn't. It's a costly race because it pays the best.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go from the top five down to, I think, where we finished, our DNF was, I don't know, it was 27, 32 or something like that. You know, it's a, you go home in the hole and in points also.
Yeah.
So it can be devastating.
Yeah. Yeah. Bob Levine here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, owner of the number 95 Levine Family Racing, number 95 Toyota, driven this year by Christopher Bell. Kind of want to transition into him for a few minutes here. I know you're a busy man getting ready for Speed Weeks. Bob, Christopher Bell, obviously, everybody's been waiting for him to get to this position. Now he's in Cup Series with you, in a rookie this year, obviously. So, Christopher
rookie
Bell.
Rookie stripes, yep.
Yep, Christopher Bell. Couple of big seasons in the Xfinity series. What are your thoughts on Christopher Bell, your driver, C. Bell?
Intense young man. Loves to drive more than anything. One of the most talented young men I've seen drive a race car. And he has paid his dues. Wasn't born with a silver spoon. Worked hard. 16, left home, went to race. TRD Toyota found him and picked him up, and he raced for a living and has made his way that way, you know, and worked him into one of the, if not the top rookie this year, one of the top three rookies this year, because there's three good ones. You know, obviously I personally will take Christopher. I'm partial. I've gone and watched him around the track, watched him at the Chili Bowl, and he's a quality individual, very humble, which I like. Sitting and talking to, again, our engineers a while ago, he just came in here and asked questions and soaked it up like a sponge. You know, as good as he is driving, he always asks and wants more. You know, he's not going to try to impress you with what he knows. He's going to impress you with what he does on the track. And, you know, what I like, that's some of the things I like him, but I just like his attitude of wanting to race, wanting to win. You know, he wants to win races, and he lives for that. He has very, I don't even know he has a hobby. Racing is his hobby.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's dedicated. So I don't know, you know, I can go into, you know, details about the attributes of him. You know, he's got great car control. I've seen him save some cars in Xfinity. You wonder how in the world did he do that? Maneuverability and getting through traffic. You know, I think Kyle Larson was the one who said, you know, he's the best I've ever seen at it. Mm-hmm. You know, maneuvering his way through traffic. And he sets people up. I was listening to a spotter last night on NASCAR radio with Claire B. Lang, and Stevie was talking about how he sets a driver up when he could pass one. He'll wait to, when he goes to that effort, he can pass two or three cars. So very big picture, you know, sees ahead and not just right here where he's driving. And so he just has that, you know, God-given ability that doesn't come along, and he's developed it by just racing a lot. And so we're excited, and now we're texting last night, because he left this morning. I flew in this morning, and and we were getting ready to fly here last night, and he was flying back from his honeymoon last night.
Oh, yeah.
and so I think he actually got stuck in Cancun for a couple of hours. Man, get your butt back to USA. I'm excited because he's so excited about getting in the car and driving a Cup car. That's been a dream of his, and you're really proud and happy for somebody when they get to see a dream that they worked so hard for, and nobody really opened the door or bought a door or whatever for him. He's earned it himself.
Yeah, and congrats to Christopher and his wife now, Morgan, on getting married last week, if my memory stays correctly there. So, yeah.
Yes.
So, and then, yeah, Christopher Bell, that rookie battle this year, I'm looking forward to see what unfolds there. Yeah, Christopher, obviously, Tyler Reddick, and Cole Custer, and then let's not forget John Hunter Nemechek in the 38
right
for front row this year. He's going to be there in the mix. So that's going to be probably one of the most exciting rookie battles that we've seen in some
probably time. Most talented class I've seen in probably my 10 years here.
Yeah. Yeah, very excited for that. And what Christian Bell has is a crew chief that he's been with for a couple of years, and that is Jason Ratcliffe that you guys have. Ratcliffe, he's been up here before with Joe Gibbs. So how important is that crew chief driver chemistry in the Cup Series? Especially we have, you already talked about Bell's driving ability, and we all know that. So how is that important, especially with a first-time Cup driver in the series trying to navigate tracks and go up against other drivers in the series?
It's one of the things that we talked about when he and I first started talking about what we wanted to do. And I talked to Jason and talked to a lot of people. Talked to a lot of people at JGR, Toyota. I like to gather information and before I make a decision. But the bottom line is, or was, Christopher's comfortable with Jason. So we're making a lot of changes in Christopher's life this year. You know, longer races, more races, up in the series. So what do we want to do? We want to make him comfortable. We don't want to make him more uncomfortable.
Right.
So Jason brings that comfort level. And, you know, the ability of Jason was never a question. You know, my only question was, you know, I had Mike Wheeler, and Mike's a great crew chief engineer, and did a great job with Matt, and has done a great job in our organization, helping us become better overall in our shop as well as on the road. And so I wanted to maintain that here. And so I, visited how we're going to, can internally, how can we make this work if we bring Jason over, because Jason's willing to come over, with Christopher, wanted to follow him on up. And we worked it out where Mike Wheels, moved into the top director position. So he stays in the mix with the engineers, with his experience. He's run this car. He knows it. Jason hasn't. Jason's been away for a couple of years in the Cup Series, but he knows how to be a crew chief. He knows leadership. He knows putting cars together. And he knows Christopher's personality. He knows when he, needs a pat on the back or when he needs reassuring. And all drivers need that confidant. And so we haven't totally separated Christopher from, a comfort world. And so that's his comfort, that Jason's made good calls in Xfinity. I'm going to Cup. Jason's going to do the same thing there. And Jason and Wheels get along very well. So that's going to just give two more good minds on the pit box, along with our two engineers that we kept from last year. So we're really excited about, with Jason being here, Christopher being here, those are our two basic new additions. Everybody else remains the same. We just get better and pick up from where we ended the last year's second half, and give him a great car, to put on the track and have confidence that it ain't going to come out from under him or fall apart.
You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Here, Eddie Greer here with Bob Levine, owner of the number 95 Levine Family Racing Toyota. Christopher Bell making his debut in the Cup Series here in a few days. Here, just a couple more minutes with Bob, and I appreciate your time on a hectic schedule getting ready for Speed Weeks, Bob. Speaking of Speed Weeks, here real quick, what are your expectations for your team going into the couple weeks down in Daytona? What are your expectations for Christopher and the team?
Eddie, that's pretty simple. Hate to be it simple, but it's today our car's going through inspection, or probably should already went through inspection. I'm sitting here just waiting to finish with you and head home where I can pack. We're leaving in the morning. But, you know, what I expect from them is exactly what they gave me last year. Attention to detail, focus on what they're doing, get a good car ready for their driver, and then make the minor adjustments, because there isn't a lot of adjustments. It's really making sure the car is balanced, drives well, and then turn it over to the driver. It's all about him and the spotter. And we hope to maneuver. Qualifying, we really... easy to look at the stats. Our Toyotas don't qualify that well.
Right. Yeah. You know,
but that's not a priority for them. You can spend a lot of time and money trying to get a fast car that qualifies that may mean nothing, because once you get in the draft, the whole characteristics of those things change. You know, I think last year we qualified 27th, and in three laps we were up front. But we had a good car that handled, was balanced between downforce and you know, on edge. So we like to put them together where the driver can maneuver them comfortable in and out, handles well, doesn't get pushed and pulled around by the draft from the other car or the wake or the dirty air. And so just do our job. Give him a good car. You know, they know what their job is. There's no rookie people working on our travel squad, and they're just excited to give Christopher that good car and let him go get used to it, you know, on the super speedway, and stay out of trouble during practice. You know, don't get caught up in a big draft and a big bunch of cars and lose our good car in practice. Just shake it down, check it out, get in the draft with the other Toyotas at the right time, save yourself, go qualify Sunday, then go be careful, race your way in on Thursday night, and then go, then everything's off. Okay, now let's go have fun on Sunday.
Yep, that's what it's all about. Yeah, definitely Daytona. It's all, yeah, you hear it all the time. It's all about the balance, especially handling is key at Daytona, the balance of the race car, and then Talladega is a whole another thing there. But I'm going to get you out on this question. Obviously, you pass Daytona after the next week and a half. And then you have the rest of the season. Obviously, the West Coast swing kicks off right after the Daytona 500 with Las Vegas. So, with the way you guys ended the year last year with some momentum last year, some good runs last year, like you talked about here on the podcast today, what are your goals for the rest? What are your goals for 2020 for Christopher after the 500?
Only goals everybody in here has their own goals individually, you know, but collectively, we want to get that young man in the playoffs. You know, I'm not predicting, you know, we had cars good enough last year to win races. We didn't get it done. You know, we have better cars this year, and we have as good a drivers out there. He is a rookie, but he has great car control. Yeah, we're going to bobble here and there, so I don't look at any individual races. I look at overall season. My Bob's goal is make it into the round of 16. And, you know, if we don't do that, then am I going to be disappointed? Yes. You know, that's my disappointment level, because I think we have all the parts and pieces and people and driver and crew chiefs, everybody to do it, Eddie. And so when you have it, and you don't do it, obviously you're going to be disappointed.
Right.
And beyond that, I try not to get too specific to put any more pressure on anybody, because I know right. Christopher is, I know Jason is, I know everybody is putting pressure on themselves.
Yeah,
that's what racers do.
Yeah.
You don't race just to compete.
Yeah, yeah.
We go out there. Majority of the owners and people in the garage are my friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I go out there to kick their butt on Sundays. And if you don't, you shouldn't be racing.
Nope.
You know, Matt and I, in fact, the last half dozen races last year, we were already talking, you know, Jeremy Lang, our president, myself, and Michael, to Matt, you know, kidding him about, okay, we're going to kick your butt next year, so you better be up for it, man. You know, because he's a friend, he's a competitor, and we want to beat him.
Yeah.
It's just what you do. He's a good driver, good car, and you want to beat the best.
Yep. Yep, I got no problem with that. That is the exact. That is the right mindset right there. You want your friends off the track, whatever you're doing, basketball, yeah. baseball, and but when it's between the lines, hey, I'm here to win. I'm here to beat you. That's the mindset.
We're not gonna degrade you or personally do anything as professional. We're gonna do it professionally, but I'm here to beat you. There's a reason first place pays more.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, especially with the 500, everything on the line with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're going to leave it like that, right where it is. Bob, ladies and gentlemen, that was Bob Levine, owner in the NASCAR Cup Series, owner of the Levine Family Racing, number 95 Toyota, driven by Christopher Bell. This season, pumped up for Speed Weeks, pumped up for the 500. I can tell you're pumped up too, Bob, along with your whole organization, ready to get back on a track and do some damage. Bob, thank you for taking some time out of your busy, busy schedule to talk to us today, and good luck during the 500 and Speed Weeks, and good luck this year, man. Appreciate it.
Eddie, I appreciate you inviting me on, and I'm sure I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, will do. Thank you.
Okay. Bye, bud.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3 Wide.